But I'm looking forward, because when you get a project, Jesus Christ, they're good.
So we're talking about Gascoigne.
Gascoigne, soon to be Spartan, not yet Spartan.
Here's the thing, right? The value of the loan to Delphi, and it's about $2.5 million. EDO, they come out in this second expert report, and they've rerun the mining scenario, and this time it pops up with a value of the royalty between 4.1 million and 8 million bucks. Now that, both the minimum and the maximum are above what the value of the loan is. Shareholders can either vote for the conversion or vote against it. If they vote for it, then Delphi still get the royalty. And if they vote against it, all that happens is Gascoigne have to pay Delphi $2.5 million. Board of directors tell shareholders they still recommend the conversion.
G'day, money miners. 14th of August, we've 95% recovered from Diggers, I think.
It took two consecutive days of sleeping 11 hours a day on the weekend for me, mate.
Trav had a big love session with his bed over the weekend. He's a new and improved man. So, oh God, I can't believe Diggers recovery goes nearly into September. So, great times had by all. And we're still kicking the ass of all the Diggers YouTube videos in terms of total views, Trav. So we are the premier media organisation for YouTube views.
Oh, there you go, mate. That's good to add some value somewhere.
Very good, mate.
Very pleasing, mate.
Right, we've got a bit to go through today. We've got some, a couple of corrections to our awards. We've got.
Yeah, we do.
Bit of
my apologies, mate. I didn't fact check these. I just assumed that I knew what I was talking about, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I do.
Welcome to my world, Travis Ricciardo.
But thankfully people point out when we get things wrong, and we're happy to admit when we are wrong because we're not always right. So two big corrections to make in relation to our Diggers Awards. The first one was in relation to calling out IGO for being Dealer of the Year in 2021. We said it was because of their acquisition of Western Areas. That was incorrect, mate. They were Dealer of the Year in relation to a combination of two deals that they did in that in the previous 12 months. The first was the divestment of their 30% interest in Tropicana, which then facilitated them to be able to acquire their interest in Greenbushes.
And which you'd say, and they didn't purchase Panoramic as well, which led to being able to buy Greenbushes.
Yeah, I suppose you could group it all in. Which, you know, if you look at that deal, that actually did create a lot of value and probably rightfully won Dealer of the Year for that one. So sorry, IGO and all associated with that deal, got that one wrong.
Not bad, because I would have listened.
The other one we got wrong, mate, was in relation to our Stage Hog Award, which I do like the whole premise of that award. It's very funny. But I wrongly assumed that everyone gets a 15-minute time slot. It turns out some people pay for a 15-minute time slot. Some people get a 20-minute one. So, you know, calling out people for being 8 minutes over time might not have been as fair as I initially thought. They might have only been 3 minutes over time.
It'd be interesting to see if they actually did have a 20-minute time slot.
Yeah, or yeah.
I'm talking about Chalice.
Pilbara, Linus.
And Linus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly. They're all very big market caps, so I reckon they probably did have a 20-minute slot.
Probably did.
Honesty is the best policy, Ricciardo. Good work, Cobber.
Oh, no worries, mate. We've got a big one today. What have we got in store?
We've got a few random ones, but you have gone right into something which is extremely interesting, I think, about Gascoigne.
I think it's interesting too, yeah. You know how much I love shareholder activism. I'm going to try my luck at it again today. One of these days it'll work.
And it's going to convert. Right, we've got a bit of bloody, what do we got? Polymetals, Sheffield Resources. Then we've got Gascoigne. Where's it?
And Azure. There's a bit of media speculation about Azure.
Yeah, our good friend, Big T Rivera. What a bloody absolute GC for coming on and having a few schooners and pints, they're pints over here, with, as you said in the episode description, his son, Alex. You didn't even tag his company name.
No, I didn't.
Just to stir him up.
I captioned that one, his son, who in brackets tried to steal the limelight.
Orteco, they're suspended from trading, so I'm going to put some wild predictions that aren't even probably close to being true.
Yeah.
As you said, Azure in the media. Right, let's get into it, I reckon. Trav, first up, thanks to our great friends, Langers and Bondi at Terra Capital. I love them. Love the blokes, supporters of the show. Due for another episode very soon. Thanks to Terra for helping out Matty and mine.
Good on you guys, and thanks for providing Matty with his man crush.
Every time I present it, it's something about how much I love them and I'm going to turn for them. They're just bloody legends. Right, news of polymetals, Trav. We covered this a while ago. Now, in the old Cobar Basin, one of those many mines.
There's a lot there. Yeah, this one, polymetals, they acquired the Endeavour silver lead zinc mine from, I think it was the owner, like the ultimate owner was in fact Toho. They've got the smelting infrastructure over in Japan, but it was their subsidiary, I think it was CBH. It was acquired.
Cobar Metals or something? Is that what they called themselves?
Yeah. So that mine was in care and maintenance from 2020, but Polymetals picked it up in one of those deals where you didn't have to pay any real cash up front. It was sort of, an assumption of a bond and some shares and stuff like that. And that was earlier this year. So it's in the news today, though, Matty. What'd you pick up?
Well, let me read it, and I'll ask you a very serious question after it. So they have signed a non-binding memorandum MOU for the replacement of the Endeavour Mine Environmental Rehabilitation Bond, being the final condition before completion of the acquisition, and the $28 million bond surety to be guaranteed for up to 2 years. So my question to you,
four
Trav.
Years, 4 years. Yeah.
4 years. Yeah. Guaranteed for up to 4 years. So my question to you, what the fuck does that all mean? I've got no idea. What's shorty? What's bloody? It's not shorty as in shorty. It's surety.
Yeah.
So please explain. I've got no idea what that means.
Surety.
Surety. There you go. That's better.
Surety, it basically means that Ocean Partners, they will assume responsibility of Polymetals in relation to this obligation in the event that they default. In this case, Ocean Partners, who they're a trading house, they also have this separate $15 million prepay with Polymetals as well. But Ocean Partners, they've entered an MOU saying they'll provide surety for up to 4 years if the mine study is positive. So the mine restart study is positive. So basically they will be on the hook for any default, basically, for that period of time.
Yeah, right. And so before this, what was the risk to the operation if without this in place, the bond?
Yeah, I think Polymetals picked up this asset and they just had a promise to Toho that they would replace the bond. This is basically, the mechanism that enables that bond to be replaced, because under the previous acquisition, under the terms, Polymetals, they don't have the cash to back a bond and all that sort of stuff. So it was still Toho on the hook for this bond, and now Toho, they want a clean exit. They want that to be replaced, and this is the mechanism that enables that to happen.
So it's like a rental. Like when you change rentals, you've got to transfer the bond. You don't want the old tenant to still have the bond.
Yeah, and quite often, like the reason that that divestment of certain assets happens is actually because of these environmental liabilities that are associated with old assets. Some miners take a view that this obligation needs to be realized in the near term, and we would rather someone else have a crack at mining it again rather than us having to fork up the real cash to fund the rehab. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Thank you very much for clarifying all that for me, Trav. Great to have you on the show. Sheffield Resources, they got the Thunderbird Mineral Sands project just east of Broome.
North.
Up in the Dampier Basin, I think they call it. Geez, you'd bloody have fun sweating your ass off in summer at that joint. Oh, far out.
Mate, summer would be rough, but right, this time of year would be beautiful.
Beautiful. So maybe, I've been there in November. And absolutely,
you'd be sweating,
like a. I could go down numerous roads there, but I will not. So they've announced today they're into commissioning stage.
Yep.
Construction nearly completed.
Yep.
And within the $484 million FID budget.
Yeah, mate. They call themselves fully funded to execute the work program. Fully funded, right? So please don't surprise us with a capital raise now at Sheffield, because we want to give you a big congratulations for this achievement, getting something completed or nearly completed within budget, amid a backdrop of everyone else is having sort of cost blowout. So
484 mil, how'd they bloody fund that?
It's a big number, and a big number for a company that has never really had a demanding market capitalization. So it's pretty impressive when you find a way to fund a big project like that with a small market cap. These guys achieved it by doing a joint venture with, it was with Yansteel, and then there was a combination of equity at that project level and also debt with the combination of NAIF and Orion. So I think you had $169 million from the joint venture partners. So you can think of equal contributions.
Sheffield and Yansteel.
Yeah. And then in addition, $315 million senior loan facilities with NAIF and Orion.
I think I saw in the announcement, maybe I'm wrong here, that for that 169, Sheffield have only put in about 30-odd mil. Is that wrong or right?
I wouldn't be surprised by that number. Yeah, I'd have to go back through the materials to fact check.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty impressive thing to get funded given they've never had a very demanding market cap. I think they're going to be producing three different products in stage one. That's a zircon concentrate being the main one, and then they've got there's a magnetic con and a paramagnetic concentrate as well.
Yeah, because it's looking like because Yansteel are. What are the figures here? They've got 10 million tonne per annum of steel production, but they're also constructing a 500,000 tonne per annum titanium processing facility, and then that facility is going to consume the magnetic concentrate produced at this Thunderbird. So I think that...
Interesting.
That magnetic, which is the ilmenite.
Yeah.
I think that's used for the smelting, for the slag, for the smelting in this titanium facility. So that's obviously where the interest... one of the interests of Yancoal in this project. So until I met you, Trav, wouldn't have given two shits about mineral sands, to be honest, mate, but I'm becoming a fan.
Yeah, well, they're interesting now. And the other part of mineral sands that is becoming more and more interesting is the relationship between mineral sands and rare earths. So you'll see a bit more and more of that pop up, mate. And so keep your eyes peeled, I reckon.
Right. Now let's get into the big humdinger that was once I saw the actual script right up here, I'm like, holy shit, he's gone nuts here. But I'm looking forward because when you get a project, Jesus Christ, they're good.
All right,
sometimes
mate.
Risky, but good.
So we're talking about Gascoyne.
Gascoyne, soon to be Spartan, not yet Spartan.
Soon to be Spartan, yeah. And before I bloody lose my breath about five times in the rant that's about to follow,
I'll try ask questions, but I won't be able to bloody keep up with it.
I'm just going to give it a big ding, ding, ding. So Jonas, JD on the Money Mine team, owns shares in Gascoyne, and you know, I indirectly have an interest via my partner who owns some shares in Gascoyne as well. So keep that in mind as we're talking about this one, because
I might have some too.
Do you? Oh, ding, 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 Matty. Yeah. Hey. Oh, he's on the Spartan.
Transferred some other ones that weren't going well, which were pretty much the only ones I had. Bit of a Hail Mary.
We're aligned on the money line too.
We are aligned.
All right. So
are we about to slag them off, but we're all shareholders?
I wouldn't say slag them off. I'd say we're trying to create a bit of a yeah, we're just trying to stick up for the shareholder, mate. Mm. We're really trying to stick up for the shareholder.
Sticking up for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, as we should. And this one, it doesn't relate to news out today. It was more a part of the news flow that rolled through during Diggers, but it's one I think is important to talk about. I'm going to try and do my best not to lose the audience and the listener.
And myself.
And you, Matty, on this one. As I start talking about some technicalities here, so I'll do my best, but please tease it out of me, Matty.
Righto.
You remember when Gascoyne was in suspension back in the start of the year and they went through that whole recapitalization process as part of the funding package in that period of time? Delphi, who was one of Gascoyne's larger shareholders, I think they still have 15.3% of the company.
Yep. Same guys that are in Kin.
Yep. Yeah, they're in a bunch of stuff. German. They're even in Azure, which we're going to talk about after this bit.
Yeah.
So Delphi or Deutsche Bellaton, sometimes they're called all the same thing.
Oh, so Delphi, Deutsche Bellaton are the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Same. They agreed to provide a $2.45 million unsecured loan to Gascoyne under the condition that the loan would be converted into a royalty.
Is that when Simon referred to in the interview, or maybe he said this on the phone, but I think he used a term that he was assaulted in some way to take this royalty. I won't say the exact way he said it, but he was fisted, you'd say. But that was part of the recap, was like he had to take a royalty.
Yeah, one of those, he might have been talking about the royalty to Tembo as well. So
might be the other one.
So there's royalty to Tembo. There's a royalty to to Delphi as well, that they're similar terms. You could look at them in some way, shape or form as. We're just talking about the Delphi one. So Delphi provide an unsecured loan, which, you know, addressed a funding issue at the time. And the agreement was that would be converted into, you can just, there's a few factors of the royalty. The only one that really matters is it would be converted into a 0.7% royalty over the Dalgaranga tenements. And that includes Never Never, the shiny new discovery.
That is Never Never. But it's just Never Never. At the moment.
Yeah. So here's the catch, Maddie. The company actually needs shareholder approval for that loan to be converted into the royalty. And in order to get shareholder approval, an independent expert opines on the transaction to determine whether they believe it to be fair and reasonable. You'll hear that, those words, fair and reasonable, thrown out a lot. In this instance, the independent expert is BDO, right? So if you're still following me, Matty,
kudos. What's that stand for? Business Development Organisation. Oh, I should write, that should be my company, Business Development. Anyway, sorry, keep going. I'm just giving you a breath.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So Gascoigne, they put out a notice of meeting on the 4th of July, 2023. Notice of meeting is just basically when the company sends out all of the resolutions they intend to be voted on, and the vote typically happens a month later. So they put out this notice of meeting on the 4th of July, which included resolutions for shareholders to vote on a couple of things. Included in those resolutions, the name change to Spartan.
Right.
I think there were some performance rights to directors. And importantly, approving this conversion of the loan into the royalty for Delphi. Now, as part of the notice of meeting, there's a report at the back of it written by the independent expert BDO. And BDO, in this document, they outline whether they thought that royalty conversion is fair and reasonable. The way that they do that, in a nutshell, is they valued the royalty using, you know, DCF, or discounted cash flow methodology.
So like a figure out an MP, back of the envelope MPV for the project.
Exactly. They end up calculating a range. So they'll have a low end and a high end, and they basically tweak a few of their assumptions, but they spit out that they valued their royalty at that point in time as between $2.2 million and $4.4 million.
And that's based on the most recent information they have on the resource.
Yep, exactly.
The new 600,000 ounces of high grade resource.
This came out before the update.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So, oh, right.
And this is the technicality that we're about to unpack, right? So BDO valued the royalty using the information they had at the time, which was simply just the mineral resource. Notably, they basically have to make an assumption for how much of the mineral resource converts to reserves based on the resource that was available at the time. And then they run a mining scenario around that. I think they assume 40% conversion of resources to reserves. They also choose an 18% discount rate, which is fascinating to me because every royalty company under the sun is sort of, you know, just has a discount rate of like between 5% and 10%. So 18% seems interesting.
Yeah, right.
Nonetheless, though, you look at what their range of the value of that royalty is at that point in time was between 2.2 million and 4.4 million bucks. Now, here's the thing, right? The value of the loan to Delphi is that 2.45 million. You can add on a little bit of interest to that. And it's about 2.5 million bucks was the value of the loan from Delphi. So you can say that, you know, they've got this picture in that initial independent expert report. And you can see on that picture there, Maddie, the value of the loan fitting in the low end of that range of the value of the Delphi royalty. So, but it fits in the range. And because it fits in the range, what do they say, BDO? They say it's fair and reasonable.
Mm-hmm. But so from Delphi's point of view, they're like, right, we've given you this loan. We want a royalty so that at the back end, once you start producing, we get a bit of bloody profit out of this loan. That royalty is their interest above what they've lent them, in a way. But it's trying to figure out how much that royalty is based on the dynamics of the project changing. Is Delphi going to make shitloads of money out of this, and shareholders are going to be screwed for the royalty?
Yeah, well, I mean, shareholders have the capability to vote with their I was going to say vote with their feet, but they just vote with their vote. Ultimately, they can choose to knock it back if they want it, and that's where
vote
I'm going to
their finger.
That's where I'm going to get to. Okay, so we see it fit in the range to start with. And
so this is before the latest mineral resource update.
Exactly.
And, right.
And there's a twist, mate. There's a twist. On the 24th of July, Gascoigne come out with an upgrade to their mineral resource.
Very impressive upgrade too, by the way.
Yep. It probably beat expectations. Yep. So that was on the 24th of July. And then on the 1st of August, we see that they announce that the shareholder meeting has been delayed a month because they need to come out with a new independent expert report. I'm not sure what happened behind the scenes to necessitate this, but on the 8th of August, Gascoigne released a new supplementary notice of meeting, which included a new independent expert report from BDO.
Okay, now, same people. Yep.
Same people. Right. This time they're including the most recent information about the mineral resource, which factors in, you know, the update that was that came to market on the 24th of July. So that's an increase in size, and I think grade was higher as well. And with that new information, BDO rerun their mining scenario and rerun their DCF. And it's actually really, really interesting what they have to say, right? So BDO, they come out in this second expert report and they've rerun the mining scenario. And this time it pops up with a value of the royalty between 4.1 million and 8 million bucks. Now that, both the minimum and the maximum are above what the value of the loan is. So
as you can see by this beautiful picture you've put up.
Yeah.
Have you made that picture?
No, or is that? This is a snip directly from their report, BDO's
right.
report.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I'll read a quote, right? They say, in our opinion, the position of shareholders if the proposed transaction is not approved is more advantageous than the position if the proposed transaction is approved. Accordingly, in the absence of any other relevant information, we believe that the proposed transaction is not reasonable for shareholders. So they ultimately conclude that this conversion of the royalty is both not fair and not reasonable value, you know, with that uplift in the value of the royalty. So
they'd have to, and to alter this to make it technically reasonable would be to drop the royalty percentage.
Well,
is that an option?
It'd be interesting to see a recut deal from here. I'm not quite sure how that would eventuate. I think the way I look at this is more in the realm of not recutting the deal with Delphi, but more just thinking around what are the two options. Shareholders can either vote for the conversion or vote against it. If they vote for it, then Delphi still get the royalty. And if they vote against it, all that happens is Gascoigne have to pay Delphi $2.5 million cash.
Ah.
So, right, you might be thinking, how good's that, right? The independent expert says it's not fair and not reasonable. Surely, Maddie, the board of directors are just going to listen to the independent expert and encourage the shareholders to vote in accordance with the independent expert. No. It's not how it eventuated. In the same notice of meeting, Maddie, the board of directors tell shareholders they still recommend the conversion, which is, you know, pretty fascinating decision as I think about it. You can see in the wording the board somewhat, I get the sense that the board somewhat acknowledge that while the conversion may not be in the best interest of shareholders, they think it is important to honour the terms on which Delphi agreed to provide the loan. So there's this
and
one.
I don't want Delphi to dump all the bloody shares.
Potentially, I think there's probably a degree of, I think it like, and you can see this one sentence, the board considers it is appropriate that the company honours the terms on which Delphi agreed to provide the $2.45 million unsecured loan to the company in early 2023. So I think there is a sense that this was the agreement that was made. We're still going to recommend shareholders vote for it. Keep in mind the terms of this royalty were relatively similar to the terms of the royalty that Tembo got as well. So you've got both of those parties having board representation as well. So look, it's intriguing, right? And I look at this board recommendation and I think that's fucking bullshit. I mean, like, I think...
Oh, dude, nice fellas don't finish first.
You know, like, you're... Oh, I can't wrap my head around... disregarding a not fair and not reasonable opinion from an IER and still telling shareholders to vote for it, right? Like, the responsibility as a board is to act in the best interest of all shareholders. I look at this situation and I see it as a great opportunity for the shareholders of Gascoigne, you included now, Maddie, to realise that...
Big skin in the game.
You know, to realise that you're best off by voting against this resolution. Don't trust me on this one, telling you to vote against it. Trust the independent expert, BDO. If shareholders vote against it instead of perpetually encumbering the economics of this project, that's what a royalty does. Guess what happens instead, right? Gascoigne simply have to pay back the $2.5 million, which is including a little bit of interest. That sounds way better to me, doesn't it?
Well, do you reckon you get enough people on side? Because obviously they've got 15. You'd assume Delphi have got 15.
They can't
of the
vote.
Voting.
They can't.
Oh,
vote.
They can't vote.
No. So their vote doesn't count.
That makes sense.
Tembo's got 20% now. Tembo even it probably
also have a royalty.
It's not in Tembo's best interest to vote for it just by their ownership, but they might feel a degree of, well, heck, we got a royalty from it, so we're going to have to vote for yours. That might be that honourability piece that come into it, but it's not in their best interest to vote for it, as according to the independent expert. So, I mean, look, I'm making a call to the money miners. Come on, money miners. We've dabbled in some shareholder activism on this podcast before, and frankly, we're keen to lean into it. Let's show boards that we can keep them to account properly, right? Yeah. Gascoigne shareholders, when you get that letter in the mail, vote no to resolution one. Tell the board loud and clearly that you trust the independent expert more than you trust their retroactive honour system for what is in shareholders' best interests.
This is not financial advice, by the way. Vote however you want.
Mate, vote. Listen to the independent expert, BDO, right? They're saying it's not fair and not reasonable. I'd listen to them above the bloody board, which, you know, might have some bizarre honour system informing their recommendation.
There's a Delphi person's on the board, aren't they?
Delphi person on the board. They couldn't. They're not allowed to be part of that recommendation. They sit out for that one. Yeah.
But the Tembo one.
Tembo's on the board.
Tembo's on the board.
Yeah.
Very good dig and travel. Look at all these little tirades you go on. I'm like, I could physically never come up with that. You are a sensational value to this organisation, mate. Ben, very well done.
Now, let's
just drop it back down from highly technical, informative stuff to Maddie chucking out wild claims.
Or Techo. I've barely heard of this company, mate.
Nah, they had a bit of. I'll show the chart here. They were part of that. The pending gold boom of Aussies trying to go into North America back in 2020 or so. They had a bit of a run here. They got up to like 20 cents, and now they've just gradually gone back down to 3. So that, I think, some people made some pretty good money early on. It's the whole crew. It's the Bellevue crew. So, like,
gotcha.
You got Steve Parsons, Michael Naylor, Ray Shorix, is it? Probably got the name. I think that's right. And Darren Cook's the CEO. So all ex Northern Star, Bellevue, that whole crew. So they've got 2.8 million ounces of resource at 7.2 grams. The Pickle Crow project in Ontario. But it's all inferred. But it's been sitting there a while.
Yeah.
But so they're in a voluntary suspension. Today, just straight into voluntary suspension, requested pending the release of information regarding a material acquisition and associated capital raise. So
they're buying something.
They're buying something. So my job on this show is to speculate what, Trav? You said maybe Atlantic off St.
I got no idea. I'm trying to think of I feel like I don't know enough about, you know, gold.
Could be Sugar Zone.
Gold assets out there. We're listing the ASX ones because that's what comes to mind, well, but I'm sure it's not.
Look, unless I've probably bloody missed it, there doesn't appear to be any ASX companies also in suspension, because you would think if they're buying it off someone, that company would be in suspension as well.
Yeah.
Would they?
If it's material to the company, yeah. It could also be immaterial to the company, which
maybe.
Means they wouldn't have
so
to.
It's maybe I was hoping they'd buy the Labyrinth Gold project, but Labyrinth aren't in suspension,
not in suspension.
So we're not. Now here's a wild prediction based on nothing. Now I had a bit of bloody word on the decline a while back. There's a TSX company called Monarch Mining. So they've been in financial trouble for a while, and they've recently sold off one of their exploration assets, but they've still got one. It's a producing, was a producing asset that's in care and maintenance now, the Beaufort mine, and a couple other exploration assets. So wild stab in the dark. Who the fuck knows? Maybe I probably should have called someone, made some phone calls. I'm just literally going off nothing.
Intuition,
here,
but, gut feel.
And it's not even close to Pickle Crow. It's all the way in Quebec. But
oh, wow.
If they end up purchasing that asset from a company that was in financial trouble and it comes true, how good am I going to look?
Yeah. Mate, you're throwing off darts, one of them will hit.
I've just got to keep bloody pegging them, mate. But no one in suspension in Australia on the ASX that I can see. Not sure. I'll assume if they're acquiring something that's been – if you're acquiring an exploration tenure of someone, would that be material
to the divestor or
to the divestor?
Probably not. Depends on the size of the company as well.
Maybe they're all so pretty much any company I've said just then, it could be any of them. So if it is, I'm technically right.
Do they say in the Hulk that they're buying a gold project? I mean, be another one of these another one of these bloody, you know, getting excited about lithium in Canada companies as well. Who
true
knows?
Every gold miner is a lithium explorer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, anyway, Azua. We'll shout out to Big T Rivera. Good bloke.
We had him on the potty, didn't we?
That's
fascinating.
Got more views than his Diggers and Dealers prezzo, that's for sure. Just sinking pints with the Money of Mine boys, talking absolute rubbish.
We failed to ask any questions that people would
related
have wanted to know.
Related to mining or anything, but pretty much just hung, yeah.
Yeah, but it was good. It was a good conversation. I think you saw a bit of character in him, and I mean, the interesting thing about Tony Rivera is Andover Lithium Project is not his first discovery. Matty, he famously discovered Cosmos.
With Jubilee, was it?
Correct.
Did he say that? Because I was pretty pissed when we were interviewing. I probably didn't listen.
I think we had a yarn with him after the cameras.
Right. There you go. Yeah. I love it how his son, Mr. Alex Rivera, is claiming that he told him to start exploring for lithium instead of nickel at Andover.
Oh, he's claiming it, isn't he?
So what's happening? So they went into a trading halt pending a response to media speculation.
Yep.
So there was an article in The Australian yesterday afternoon.
There was indeed.
Travis, what was the article?
So, I mean, The Australian, they reported that SQM was considering a bid for Azure around the $2.30 mark. Now, last week the stock ran as high as $2.95, but it's now drifted back down to $2.34.
Because that was after they put out their expiration target, wasn't it?
Yeah,
100
I think
to 250
so.
Million tonnes.
The timing in my head is a bit blurred if they started coming off before then or after then. But yeah, they're now, they've drifted off a bit now. The Australian, they also reported rumours that Wesfarmers, which is SQM's partner in Mount Holland, they reported that Wesfarmers has been looking to open a line of communication with Creasy Group.
Didn't I predict that at Diggers? Didn't I mention wouldn't Wesfarmers be the ones looking to take over Azure?
I can't remember.
I'm positive I said it.
It
was on camera. I might have been a few beers deep, but I said it. You heard it there first.
One of these darts is going to hit. And then you're going to replay that snip and be like,
already got this one.
Yeah, I predicted it.
I got this one right.
Yeah, nice. Well done, mate.
I won't say that actually.
Yeah. Azure's in trading halt. It's funny, right? The trading halt says they're taking 2 days in halt to provide a response. I don't think you need 2 days, to be honest. So anyway, that aside, I just thought it'd be useful or interesting to look at Azure's register to sort of just like pontificate how does someone get a deal done?
What word did you just say then?
Pontificate.
Pontificate?
Yeah.
What the hell's that mean?
I don't know, just like hypothesize or, you know, spitball.
I do a lot of pontificating. That is I like that.
Yes.
And I suppose before we go into this, remember the Andover project is 60%
Azure.
60% Azure, 40% Creasy.
Correct.
But Creasy's is a shareholder of Azure as well.
He is indeed. And Creasy doesn't have to fund anything until a decision to mine. So Azure 100% funds all of the drilling up until that point of the project. So
He's had a lot of years in the industry to get that sort of privileges, doesn't he, hasn't he, Trav?
The first mover advantage, mate. It's a wonderful thing in capitalism. So, yeah, good on you, Creasy, for being a pioneer. You reap the rewards of it these days.
You could come on and be a friend of the show, Creasy, which I heard is never probably going to happen, but you never know.
You never know. So let's look at Azure's share register, right? I've just pulled this up from their latest investor presentation. They've got this neat looking table in there, and you can see their largest shareholder is SQM with 19.99%.
And they come on earlier in the year. They had a direct placement to them, didn't they?
Yeah. It was off the back of just checking out some results from rock chip samples. Put a phone call through to Tony, as he said on the podcast, just looking for 20% off the back of the rock chip samples. So it's been a wonderful investment for them. If you just base it off that, I'm sure that they have interest in the whole project, either a standalone basis or with their partner. So they're there at 20%. Yeah.
And you've got here Creasy Group's 13.38. And so that would mean Creasy's effectively got 50% of the project. Is that right? So he's got 13% of the 60, which is pretty bloody close to 10, I think.
He's got a lot.
Plus the 40 he's got of the project. So I think he's actually got 50% of the project by all his shareholders.
Yeah, there's another billion for Creasy in amongst what's going on here.
Geez, you'd think you're just like, what if you had that much money, you're like, oh, I may as well just start going on podcasts. Like, that'd be the sensible, logical thing to do, I thought.
Oh, that'd be funny. That would be, yeah, heck, what do you got to lose?
Oh, your mate's Delphi are there as well.
So, yeah, you've got Creasy Group, 13.38%. Deutsche Balaton / Delphi, that's at 12.15%. And then it goes real thin. You're down to the 1%ers with Lau, RCF, and Tony there around the 1% level. So the three entities that really matter on this register are SQM with 20, Creasy Group at 13.4, and Deutsche Balaton at 12.1. Obviously, you look at that register and you think, heck, to get any deal done, SQM is in pole position because they've got that 20% stake. Creasy Group with 13.4%. And also, given the fact that they're a 40% joint venture partner, like Creasy Group will have to be on side of any potential acquirer as well. And then you've got Delphi there at 12.15. I'm not sure how you can really predict what Delphi will do. They've caused a little bit of havoc historically. Like, they were, like you mentioned, in the Dacian debacle.
Blocking, that compulsory acquisition from Genesis taking over Dacian.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you can anticipate what they'll do. But I look at that register and I think, if anyone other than SQM wants to acquire Azure, they're going to need a real knockout bid to get control of the company. SQM / Wesfarmers are the ones that the media reported. But I think, we should also remember Albemarle has been incredibly hungry.
They're fucking chucking their money in anything these days. They love it.
They're going hard. MinRes has nearby infrastructure. Yep. Rio Tinto has rail that runs just to the north as well, and they're reportedly looking for lithium too. So like, there's a variety of parties that might be interested. Yeah, and Pilbara's another one, right? So,
but you look at how easy this. I think God, what is this like? Isn't it like 20 or something? It's bloody close to a port.
Yeah,
from what I know, this Andover mine, like it's in terms of ease of construction and shipping and everything, it sounds like very easy to get going.
I'd have to fact check you on that one. I don't think it's 20Ks. I think it's close to a rail, but it's one to keep an eye on. And it's one that we sort of open-ended posed a question onto the valuation in the early days. And I think, heck, it's had a pretty amazing run for the shareholders that were involved since then. And so, if that value gets realized by the way of corporate some degree of corporate bidding, then getting actual full control is going to require some serious negotiation given those parties with blocking stakes.
Right, good work, Trav. I love being at the desk. Thank you for having me, by the way.
No worries, mate. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it, mate. Beautiful. Right, Money Miners. Oh, thanks to all the partners. Fuck, we've got shitloads these days. Too many to remember. What do we got? We've got Terra Capital. We've got Anytime Exploration. We've got JP Search. And we've got...
K-Drill.
Oh, it's all bloody happening. You'll see there, bloody. Look, have a look at all the bloody logos. Right there. Shitloads of them. So thanks to all the support for the show.
Thanks, guys.
Those four parties, maybe more coming on soon. Uturu, Money Miners.
The information contained in this episode of Money of Mine is of general nature only and does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. Before making any investment decision, you should consult with your financial advisor and consider how appropriate the advice is to your objectives, financial situation, and needs.